ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्नीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
हरे कृष्ण.
So we are assembled here at the house of Mr. Vyas. Vyas, of course, apart from being a common Gujarati Brahmin name, is the name of Vedvyas, the incarnation of Krishna, who is the author of the Vedas. Is that correct?
Ah,
not exactly the author. Sometimes it's written that he's the author. But the Veda is eternal. Veda means knowledge. So, that which is real, no one can introduce that, or as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. That which is real doesn't come into existence. It has no beginning. And that which is unreal has no permanent existence. So, Veda means knowledge of reality. It's just like 2 plus 2 equals 4. You can write that down, but that doesn't mean that you become that you discovered this knowledge, or that you inaugurated this knowledge, but it's an eternal fact, isn't it? In all times, places, and circumstance, 2 plus 2 is going to equal 4. So in the same way, the knowledge of the Veda, that is eternal knowledge. It is delineation of reality. And that is given in Veda. And Vyas means who has divided. So originally the Veda is one, but Vyas Riksama Yajur and also Atharva, he simplified the Vedas, because knowledge of that which is subtle is not very easy for everyone to understand. How many atomic physicists do we have here? Not many, huh? None. I'm not an atomic physicist either. How many people at some stage in their life have studied integral calculus? Few more. It's not so easy. I mean, it's not for everyone, right? I studied in my youth, but I completely forgot. You want to do statistics? You're going to have to get into that. So the higher the knowledge is, or then the more the less people can understand it. It requires some pre-qualification. Before you study calculus, then you have to study simple arithmetic, multiplication, and then algebra, geometry, trigonometry, and then you can maybe start talking about calculus. So the knowledge of reality, the forces underlying reality, or everything, or that is the knowledge in the Veda, but that is not very easy to understand. It requires some qualification. Not just academic qualification. You can have a big brain. There are many people with big brains who try to study the Veda, but they don't understand, because it requires purification of character. You can't understand the Vedas it's not an academic subject, but it requires purification of character. That's why the Brahmanas were allowed to study the Veda. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya also, but especially the Brahmanas, because Brahmana means not just by family. Vyas is a Brahmin family name, but it means actually by qualification. Veda Partet Bhavet Vipra. Then, Brahmajana Titi Brahmana. One who actually understands the Vedas can be called a Brahmana, but there are many pre-qualifications for that. Janmana Jayate Shudra. By birth, everyone is a Shudra. Now, when we hear these words, Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana, we tend to think in terms of the Indian caste system, but the original system is based on qualification, not simply on birth. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvanyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah, that this division is given by Krishna according to one's qualities and his mode of work, not by birth. The caste system is a distortion of that. So it simply means that one who's qualified, they can study and act on a higher level. It works in every society. It's not only one person can be the president of the nation, and only a certain number of people are qualified to be teachers and doctors and scientists. So it's simply a division according to qualification in a society that recognizes that spiritual knowledge is the purpose of life. Ultimate purpose of life is to attain spiritual knowledge, because anyway we're not here very long. So human life is meant for God realization. But Shudra means one who's very much on the material platform, who doesn't have higher knowledge or inclination toward higher qualification, higher knowledge. Shochati iti Shudra. One who laments, one who is not detached from this world, he is called a Shudra. So, in Kali Yoga, kalo Shudra Sambhavaha, in Kali Yoga, everyone is of a lower quality. People, we don't find the level of great rishis of the past, or tapasvi, people who could perform great austerities. We don't find anyone like that nowadays. So therefore, considering that in the modern age, people will... What are the symptoms of the modern age predicted for Kali Yuga? Prayana alpayasav sabhya kalavasmin yuga janaha mandasu manda mateyo manda bhagya hi upadruta. The prominent symptoms of Kali Yuga is that people have short lives. They think that nowadays people have long lives, but we find in Shastra that people used to live literally thousands of years. In the Bible also, it's mentioned in the Old Testament, people living hundreds of years. But nowadays, people don't have very long lives. And Kalavas, people are generally of crooked disposition. That is a symptom of Kali Yuga. We just take it for granted that politicians cheat us. Everyone cheats us. Cheating is an integral part of modern society. The whole advertisement business rests on cheating people, that you advertise something to be better than it really is. No one would ever buy Coke or Pepsi unless it was advertised, because it has nothing inherently good in it. But they pretend that there's something good about it, and people are stupid enough to believe it. And that's how the whole advertising industry works. Buy this car tire. And they advertise it with pictures of pretty girls, which have absolutely nothing to do with car tires. But there's some kind of idea that if you use this car tire, then you'll get a free gift or something of a pretty girl, but it doesn't work. And if you do get a pretty girl, you'll actually get more problems. So, but it's all cheating, and in the name of free speech, there's so much cheating going on. So people they're of poor intelligence, stupid. People are stupid in the modern age, really stupid. And how can they be cheated by the politicians again and again and again and again? The politicians say we're acting in the interest of the country, and again and again and again, people believe them. So people are stupid, of crooked disposition. They have bad luck. Even if they are somewhat sincere to find out the truth, then they're liable to be cheated. There are so many bogus things going on in the name of religion. It's, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. It's such stupid things that they advertise. And it may be controversial to say so, but even the so-called great religions of the world, they're some of their basic teachings, I mean, just like the idea that God punishes you in hell forever if you don't believe in a certain church in one lifetime, then you're punished in hell forever. It's a horrible idea, actually. The all-merciful God, he loves you so much that he punishes you in hell forever. if you don't follow this particular church. These kind of teachings, they actually help the spread of atheism, because they misrepresent God. So people are unfortunate, and above all, the main symptom of Kali Yuga, this is described by Vyasadeva 5,000 years ago in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the mind is always disturbed. Isn't that a prominent symptom of Kali Yuga? Everyone's mind is always disturbed. And even if your mind isn't disturbed, again, the advertising industry will make it disturbed. Because if you're driving along, every few yards, there's a sign, buy this, buy that, buy something else. And then it's, I have to buy that. Always agitating the mind. So, in Kali Yuga, people are less intelligent. We're very proud of our universities and our great intelligence, but people are unintelligent. Even people who appear to be intelligent, they're unintelligent because they're intelligently barking up the wrong tree, or they're chasing after the wrong things. Just like the whole of modern society is based on economic development and sense enjoyment. We should get lots of money and enjoy ourselves, but we don't see that no one's becoming happy by the so-called enjoyment. And the more that you try to have economic development, the less happy people become, and actually they're becoming more disturbed. And everyone can see this, and they even have big sociological and psychological studies which explain it, but they're so foolish that they think the problem is that we have to make more enjoyment, or we'll do some yoga and then we'll get free from stress and then we can go on enjoying. But the problem is that the whole aim of life is against the real interest of the living being, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. It's not a very difficult point to understand, but if this was understood, if this was accepted, the whole of modern civilization would collapse, because people would understand the foolishness of it. One verse from Bhagavad Gita: Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonya evate adyanta vanta kaunteyana teshu yamate buddhaha. That the endeavor to enjoy ourselves through the senses, touching, tasting, smelling, feeling, hearing, contemplating, sense enjoyment, it is not a source of happiness, it is actually a source of distress. The more we try to enjoy ourselves, the more miserable we become. Beginning, middle, and end, it simply creates problems for us. Therefore, an intelligent person does not take part in this way of life, which certifies the whole modern civilization as a mass collaboration of idiots, just trying to enjoy what is not enjoyable. It's gross foolishness. Therefore, what Vyas has presented is to endeavor for that which will bring us permanent happiness. We're not saying don't be happy. We say yes, be happy. Not we are saying, but Vyas is saying. He's the representing reality. Or he's presenting reality. That reality is that yes, we are by nature, every living being is by nature pleasure seeking. Every living being is by nature Satchit Anandamai, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Because we are part and parcel of the Supreme, Satchit Anandamai. That is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we are trying to be happy in a situation which is asat, achit, nirananda, namely this material situation. Asat means everything. Sat means eternal. We are spiritual souls, we are eternal, but we're trying to be happy in this spot life. We're here for a few years, or if we're in the body of an ant, maybe a few days, whatever body we may get, we're here for a short time. So we're trying to be happy in an atmosphere that in a situation where we can't stay. We get a big house and we think I'll be happy, but by the time you paid off your mortgage, it's time to go to another home, the funeral home. So we're making plans. I'll retire happily, but retire means, why do you retire? Because you're useless, your body's useless, you can't work anymore. That's why they have retirement, not because they think, well, okay, give the guy a break, but because you're not functional anymore. So retirement means it's just all the way downhill. So we're trying to be happy in an asat situation, a temporary situation. We're trying to, we think we're intelligent. We write so many books, we study this and that, but it's all just, it's all study of, based on an impossible proposition that we will be happy in a place where there's no happiness. This material world is full of misery. We're always birth, death, old age and disease. We're suffering. Too hot, too cold. We think, oh, it's very nice. I have an air-conditioned home. Therefore, I can regulate it. But to get the air-conditioned home, you have to work hard and accept other kinds of suffering to facilitate that. And even if you have an air-conditioned home, it doesn't mean that still the mind is disturbed. We're full of anxiety in so many ways. The body gives us so many problems. So it's a foolish endeavor to try to be happy in this material world. But Vyasadeva points us toward the situation where we can actually be happy. What is that actual happiness? Bigger hamburgers? Faster cars? More beautiful women? What is that happiness? That, he states, Rishabhdev states, Vyasadev has recorded, Nayang deho bhajan riloke, Nayang deho deha bhajan riloke, Kashtan kaman arhate virupujamye, Tapo divyam putraka yena sabdam shudyat yasmad brahmasokyam twananta. He says very straightforwardly that we should not live like pigs. Pigs eat stool or excretion. You don't see it in America. You probably hardly see pigs except in the supermarket. You see chopped up bits of pigs for sale, nicely drained of blood and wrapped in plastic. But at least in India, where I've lived most of my life, pigs, they roam around the streets, even in big cities. In Delhi, I don't think. Cows go. Delhi? Pigs? Not in central. Cows are everywhere. Probably in the busties. In there's no space in Chandni Chowk. There's no room for a pig. There's no room for anything. Anyway, they wander around and many people, the habit is to let out yesterday's breakfast, processed, transformed breakfast, to let it out early morning, to relieve oneself early in the morning in the field. And the pigs come running. Your yesterday's breakfast becomes their breakfast today, hot, fresh, tasty for them. So they enjoy eating excretion. Now Rishabhdev says that actually, that sounds rather horrible, doesn't it? I mean, who would like to eat that? Anyone would like to eat that? I don't think so. Except Frank Zappa, in the history of the Western world, we don't find anyone eating excretion. Hardly. I mean, a madman. But they enjoy it. They think this is really great. But Rishabhdev says that our attempt to enjoy this world is just like that. That we think we're very sophisticated enjoying our lives, but the propensity to enjoy this material world is the same in the human being and the animal. But we are meant for a higher purpose. Therefore, he says, we should, instead of trying to enjoy this world, we should undertake tapo divyam, which means divine austerity. Now this word austerity, it's probably what they call austerity. You don't want to listen? Young lady? Don't like to listen? Got more important things to do?
I'm just going to say something really quick.
Yeah, please come.
I will. Hmm.
So, divine austerity. Now in the modern age they think that austerity means that they increase the taxes. What is that they call austerity measures? What is that? You should know, you're an auditor. Austerity measures, increase the taxes. But austerity means to forswear pleasure at the present time for the sake of a higher pleasure in future. Now, everyone has some kind of austerity. Everyone. It's just like you go to school, why? We say we like to study, but if we had our choice, what would anyone work hard? You know, we see the students, they work very... Indians get ahead in America, isn't it? Because they study hard, they work hard. Whereas the Americans, they're not so serious in general. So that's some austerity. We see that I see in India, you'll see the young children, they're like 8 years old and they're out at 5 o'clock in the morning. They're studying. While we're doing our spiritual services, they go to the coaching at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then they go to school and then they come back again in the evening. And these are young kids, you know, 8 years old. And they study for long hours. Why is that? Probably they might like to be playing cricket. But under pressure from their parents or whatever, they study hard. Why do they do that? They do that because the idea is that we'll have a better future, isn't it? And you can say it's true because you get a more higher paying job generally if you have a good qualification. So that's a kind of austerity. But Vyasadeva recommends that we consider the future beyond this life, that after we die, there is life beyond the grave, life beyond death. And everything we do, it, just like we've all heard, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So everything we do has its effect. And that's not true. It's not true just on the level of material energy, but it's true on the karmic level also. So if we act in a manner that causes suffering to others, then we have to suffer ourselves in future. This is how this word, mangs meet, mam saha. Mam means unto myself. Saha means he. So, in certain rituals for slaughtering animals, which are allowed in the Vedic literatures, meat eating is allowed. But it's not recommended, but it's allowed. For people who are, meat eating is allowed for people who are inclined to that. It's a method to regulate it. Just like, alcohol consumption is allowed in America and in most countries, but only to people of a certain age, isn't it? There's some restriction. And you're not allowed by law to drive if you've been drinking. So it's allowed, but with some restrictions. There was some attempt at prohibition previously in India and America, but it failed. Because many people have even if it's against the law, they're so much addicted to it that anyway they'll drink. So in the Vedic literature, there is allowance for meat eating, but it doesn't recommend it. It's just to regulate for people who will do it. So in the system of meat eating, there are mantras that are chanted that mam saha. Now I'm doing to you, in future you can do to me. So, now I'm killing the goat, and in the future life, the living being that is in the goat's body will kill me. So anyone who's a little bit intelligent will think, hey, that's not very good. This is not very good. Why should I do that? There will be a reaction. And for cow killing, there is a very severe reaction. It's stated that for every hair on the body of a cow, those who eat it, cook it, approve of the eating, who serve it, who sell it, who buy it, all the anyone who's involved in that, they have to suffer in hell for as many thousands of births as the For as many thousands of births as there are hairs, for each hair on the cow's body, you have to suffer a thousand births suffering in hell. Not eternal, but a long time. A long time. It's a severe reaction. So there are reactions. We don't like to hear about it. We like to pretend that it won't happen. But there are reactions on the karmic platform. So one is recommended to act in knowledge of our what is actually good for us. We study at school because we think that will be good for me in future. But if we consider that the future goes beyond this short time I'll be in this body, then we should act in a manner that will be conducive to our eternal welfare. So that is recommended, that we engage in austerities or activities which we might not like to do now. We might think, well, I just like to play and sleep and lie on the beach and go surfing. We might, whatever we like to do. Lie in the sun. It's a bit hot in New Mexico to lie in the sun too. Well, you maybe like to lie in the shade more here, isn't it? At least in this season. So we might think we might like to do that, but that's not conducive to our well-being even in this life, just to laze around. And what to speak of our eternal welfare? Now, Vyasadeva speaks of that we can attain to a situation of eternal happiness, full happiness. Full happiness where there's no death, there's no disease, there's no taxes, there's no terrorists. There is a situation that can be attained. But to attain that, we have to act in a manner in this life that will qualify us for that. Just like in youth, if we study, we qualify for a better future later in life. So if we accept that austerity of studying in youth, if we don't just fool around and play around, then we have a better future. So if we act in this life in a manner that is conducive to our eternal interest, then we can attain a state where there is no birth and death, where there is eternal bliss. And that is in relationship with Krishna, which Krishna means all attractive. Another name of Krishna is Rama. Of course, we generally think of Rama as another avatar, but Rama is also another name for Krishna, which means the same thing. It means the source of all pleasure. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani iti rama padenaso param brahma vidhiyate. That those who are yogis, what pleasure? You might wonder, why does someone become a yogi? And nowadays we think yogi is someone who does some exercises. But a real yogi is one who restrains the sense organs. He doesn't indulge in sense gratification. They indulge in such austerities we can hardly imagine. We're sitting in a cave for thousands of years, hardly eating, in the cold. Why would anyone do that? Why should they do that? It's not for the sake of self-torture, but they internally enjoy a pleasure. What is that pleasure? Satyananda. True pleasure, real pleasure. And what is that pleasure? That pleasure is meditating upon Rama, the source. So Rama means the Supreme Person, the source of all pleasure. But what is that pleasure? That pleasure is on the totally spiritual platform. What is the difference between spiritual pleasure and material pleasure? It's very easy to understand, actually. It's a simple distinction, but unless our consciousness is somewhat purified, Intellectually it's simple to understand, but to grasp the concept and apply it in our lives is difficult. The difference is that Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. The difference is that in material life, we're always thinking, how will I be happy? Everything I should do is for my happiness. That is called kam, or material lust. And that is actually the source of all our misfortune. Although we don't see it, we think, I should act for my own self-interest. But we don't know what our self-interest is, because we don't know who we are. Just like I may ask Mr. Vyas, Tame Gujarati Che? Are you Gujarati? So he'll say, yes, of course, I'm a Gujarati. But how long? How long will you be Gujarati? How long will this body last? It won't last very long. Then you'll go to another body, and another body, and another body. So acting for our self-interest is not acting for the interest of the body, but acting for the interest of the eternal soul, who we actually are. And our eternal relationship is with Krishna. Now I'm in the body of a human being, next life I may be in the body of a dog or a cat or a buffalo or whatever. But I am not any of these bodies, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. So acting in relationship to Krishna, for Krishna's satisfaction, that is in our real self-interest. A mundane example, someone may go and fight in the army, in the American army. They subjugate their self-interest to the national interest, because they think that my self-interest cannot possibly be served unless the national interest is served. And that may well be true, because if there are invaders, then unless the people come together and rebut the invaders, then your life is going to be miserable under an invading power. Of course, America never got invaded. Those of us from Europe know more about that. But the idea is that we have to come together so that our self-interest will be served. But when we understand that our real self-interest is serving Krishna. We are not independent of Krishna. Therefore, to try to act independently of Krishna is the source of all our difficulty. And acting according to his direction is our actual interest. So that's what Vyas has presented. Vedaischa sarva raham eva vedyah. Vyas has recorded Lord Krishna's statements in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is the object of all knowledge. So to understand Krishna is the perfection of life. And Vyas has made it easy, because in Kali Yuga people are less intelligent. They may be very intelligent, no doubt there are many intelligent people in the world, but from another perspective, they're not intelligent because they're chasing the wrong thing. Just like we find many of the intelligent people of the world are engaged in making cartoons, making movies which are just stupid. They're just for entertainment, which is for passing time, and has of no actual benefit to human society, even on the mundane intellectual platform. Now how much intelligent human endeavor goes into making cartoons or Coca-Cola or Coca-Cola adverts? It's a waste of intelligence. So the whole human endeavor, if we understand that the actual goal of life is to get liberated from this material existence and serve Krishna, then even the endeavor to go to the moon or to create different kinds of medicine, different kinds of fashions, it's all a waste of time. Even medicine, we think, well, that's very important. Well, it would be important if we used our lives, if we kept the body healthy, if the medicine was for keeping the body healthy, for doing something worthwhile. But even medicine, we may think, well, that's very noble, but what is the purpose of maintaining a life with no actual value in it? Of maintaining a life that we're acting in ignorance, and we're preparing to, through our ignorance, we're preparing to enter lower species of life. So real intelligence means, in the words of Stephen Covey, but it's not his truth, but it's a truth that any enlightened person in the course of history has said. I'm not saying he's enlightened, but he got this point right, that we should start with the goal in mind. And that's true not of only of business endeavors or social endeavors or educational endeavors, but start with the goal in mind. What is the goal of life? That's where he says that, start with the goal in mind, but what is the goal of life? Everyone just presumes that the goal of life is to get money, decorate your body, live happily, and then what happens? And then they're not sure. Or they may be sure, but they're wrong. They think they're sure. So first of all, we should understand, what is the goal of life? What is the goal of life? Well, the goal of life is to be happy. We may say that the goal of life is to serve God. Yeah, but why should we serve God? If for our own happiness, actually, everyone does everything. Whatever we do because our nature is to seek happiness. We are happiness-seeking entities. That is our nature. So yeah, we should seek happiness, but we should know how actually to be happy. And we can do statistical studies, and we will find that the total endeavor of human society to be happy on the material platform, since the history of time, the whole endeavor has resulted in 0% people have fulfilled the aim of being happy on the material platform. Because it's not possible. Even the so-called happiness, it's the happiness of an ant, thinking, I'm very happy, I found some sugar. And the ant is walking along with the sugar, thinking, I'm very happy. And someone treads on it, quash, finished. So that's our happiness. We got big house, big car, respectable position, and then time comes in the form of death, and quash, it's all over. So our ant-like happiness, that's not actual happiness. Real happiness means that which is eternal, unmitigated by any circumstances, complete, full, that is only possible on the spiritual platform, beyond birth and death, which is by serving Krishna. That is possible to attain in this foolish age by a very simple process. Vyasadeva he divided the Vedas and made it available in the modern age, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is one set of Srimad Bhagavatam here. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the best access to Vedic knowledge. This is the Nidamakalpatara Galitam Phalam. This is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge.
1 second, please. We started late, and
people want to go, is it?
I had promised them.
Okay, I was just going to.
And the ladies are saying that they'll be ready in 15 minutes. So will you be willing to wait 15 minutes?
Okay, I was just going to finish actually.
I'm sorry about that, but
this is Indian culture. Everything runs late.
No, but I want to let them know. No, but I don't want to tell them lie. You know, so 8 o'clock will be okay. Okay, so we'll finish 8 o'clock.
It's worth it for genuine Gujarati prasad.
Yes. Okay. Please continue.
Worth waiting for. So, how to get through, how to understand all this in the modern age? Very simple process, recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literatures. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Simple process. No need to go to a cave and be a yogi. No need to make difficult sacrifices. No need for complex rituals. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. This method will bring us to the perfection of life. Of course, there are some other rules which have to be followed. You can't chant Hare Krishna and be a McDonald's fan and attain the goal of life. That's not possible. There are some rules of purity are required. But the whole basis of spiritual life in the modern age depends on chanting the holy names of Krishna. So I just spoke a few things about this. And the summary is, we should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Understand the goal of life by reading these books. In modern age, where there are a million and one diversions. Sorry, a million and two. They must have just invented another one. They're always inventing more and more diversions. More and more computer games. How many hundreds of channels on your TV? If you go surfing through the channels, what do I like to see? You just get bewildered. I can't imagine what it's like to have several hundred channels on the TV. So we recommend, turn off all the channels. Forget all the games. Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. This is the channel that will put us directly in contact with Krishna. Much better. The old system is better. We don't need all this complicated life. Chant Hare Krishna. Live as simply as we can in this ridiculously overly complex age. Chant the names of Krishna. Live simply, live happily, and prepare to go to the spiritual world to live with Krishna eternally. This is our proposal. This is a short introduction to what the original Vyasa has given us, at least the Vyasa of this Kali Yuga. There's a Vyasa in every Kali Yuga. So the present Vyasa is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. And he recommends chant Hare Krishna. So on his behalf, we're also recommending, please chant Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this, or comment, or protest? If so, please say. We got a few protest walkouts, so maybe they just went, they found it too boring. That's a relatively polite protest to walk out. If anyone has anything, please, I'll pass the mic and you can voice, the voice of the people. But we say Vox Dei, the voice of God, not the voice of the people. Vox Populi means they don't know what they're talking about. But Vox Dei, we should, what is the word of God that we should listen to? In modern America, people think that everyone's opinion is important. But we think that Vyasa's opinion is important. Krishna's opinion is important. People who know. Better we listen to people who know than people who think they know. Yeah, anyone would like to say anything? That means you all agree, or you all disagree so much you think what I said was so stupid it's not even worth thinking about? Mr. Vyas.
Yeah, I will just give one comment, because here recently this local community have purchased a property for a temple, you know, and so if you have any idea to tell us to how the temple should run.
How the temple should run. I can tell you, but you won't follow it. Because your purpose in getting the temple is presumably as a kind of socio-religious community center. But we will recommend that the real purpose of the temple is to understand and worship the ultimate truth, Krishna. But you won't want to do that. So I can tell you. But you won't follow. So.
But I think knowing is good. If you
knowing is good. All right. Then you should call people who are in knowledge of the truth according to Vyas, who know the Shastra, who live according to that, and who can teach others according to that for their ultimate good. That you should do. You should hear you are worshipping in your home Radha Krishna. You can eventually, when you're ready for that, install deities of Radha Krishna, but not as a kind of adjunct to all the other gods, as is considered in Hinduism. But we should understand, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Krishna is supreme, and our supreme interest is served by serving Krishna. And by serving Krishna, Yatataror Mula Nishechenena Tripyantitat Skandha Bhujopashaka Pranopaharaj Chayatendriyanam Tataiva Sarvahanam Achyuteja. By serving Krishna, all the demigods are automatically served, just as by putting water on the root of the tree, the twigs, branches, flowers, fruits, blood, everything is automatically nourished. So in the same way, if we serve Krishna, then automatically all the gods are served. Or just by putting food in the stomach, all the body is nourished. We don't have to separately try to nourish the hands, the legs, the liver, the kidneys. Everything is served by serving, by putting food to the stomach. So in the same way, by worshipping Krishna, everything is automatically taken care of. So this way we can do. But that's why, actually, before establishing a temple, one should know what is the actual purpose of it. Like I'm saying, mostly temples are established as socio-religious community centers. They also serve a function as a community center, but that should not be the prime function. The prime function should be to facilitate our progress on the path of our ultimate well-being. But people are not interested in that.
They don't think so, that's why they came here.
We hope so. Yeah, so, alright, you asked me, so I'm telling you. And actually, the temple rituals are there, but a more important function, for those who are more intelligent, is to go to the temple to hear spiritual knowledge by which we can be benefited. There is a system which many people in India still follow today, that they go to the temple, they take darshan, and they sit down for maybe 10 seconds, and then they go. Because there's a rule that one should not leave the temple without sitting down. So they sit down for 5 seconds, apparently they get down and get up again. But that rule is there, that you should sit and hear. That's why the rule is there. It's not meant for 10 seconds. We should sit and hear something by which we will attain spiritual knowledge and be benefited. But now it's just become another ritual. So, actually the rituals in the temple, the archan and the puja, that is good. But actually more important than that is taking knowledge by which we can be ultimately benefited.
Okay, I have couple of things.
That's why Srila Prabhupada, he wrote so many books to give clear knowledge, Bhagavad Gita as it is. What are the actual teachings of Bhagavad Gita? Do all of you have this book, Bhagavad Gita as it is? Yes, no, maybe, not sure. You all have it? Yeah, okay. If you don't have it, Mr. Vyas has very wisely kept many copies, so you can collect from him. On Srila Prabhupada's order, I've also written several books, but I wasn't aware actually we're going to have a program here. So I just have a few, I think only two varieties of my books there. So if anyone would like to take, you can also take some of those books. The Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness, that we have some copies I think there. So that gives practical directions how to live our lives in such a way that we can progress. We can practically experience how we will progress in Krishna consciousness. So those books are available. Some CDs of lectures are available in English, Hindi, and Bengali. I don't think there's any Bengalis here. So that's available. You can take the CDs shown. Did you show the CDs also? Okay.
Let me just give a minute, please.
Yeah.
Before we do a short article, which finish in 2 minutes by 8 o'clock, what I will tell that regarding serving in this kind of program, we first serve the bhoga to Krishna, okay, and then we prasadam.
Yeah.
Today, what had happened is that 8:30 was the time, and a couple of people had to go, and I didn't want them to go hungry, so I already gave them the food, so we cannot serve today.
Mm.
But we will have all the food ready in just a couple of minutes or so, I believe, or pretty soon. So if there is an aarti or something that they would like to leave or something.
Yeah, we can have aarti and chant Hare Krishna.
And then
okay. So we request everyone to join us in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then after that, if you'd like to see some of these books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, some of the books I've written, you're most welcome to do so. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for coming. It would be nice if you establish a temple on the pure Vaishnava principles.